Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to have the opportunity to present our paper, Samsara, Efficient Deterministic Replay in Multiprocessor Environment with Hardware Virtualization Extensions. I'm Shiru from Peking University. My presentation is divided into six parts. Let's start with a brief introduction of deterministic replay. As we all know that the current multiprocessor architectures are non-deterministic, so even supplied with the same inputs, they cannot be expected to reproduce the past execution flow exactly. The lack of reproducibility complaints software debugging, security analysis, and fault tolerance. Deterministic replay gives computer users the ability to travel back walk in time and recreating the past state and events. We can divide the deterministic replay into two phases. In the recording phase, we checkpoint the whole system states first and record all non-deterministic events, which are the events which may affect the processor's execution, for example, like user input or interrupts. During replay, processor's execution is controlled by us, and each recorded event will be injected at the exact same point. Therefore, starting from the same initial state and given the same input at the same point, processor will execute the same instruction flow and reach the desired state finally. For single processor systems, most events are deterministic and do not need to be logged. However, the emergence of multiprocessor systems poses a new challenge of deterministic replay. Since memory access from different processors to a shared memory object may interleave in any arbitrary order, it has become a major source of non-deterministic events. Therefore, most of the existing research focuses on how to record and replay memory access interleaving using either a hardware scheme or a software scheme. Hardware-only schemes record memory access interleaving by embedding special hardware components into the processors and redesigning the cache coherence protocol to identify the coherence message. However, these schemes require extensive modification to the hardware, which makes it largely impractical for use in real systems. And they generate a huge space overhead, which limits the duration of recording. In contrast, software-only schemes achieve deterministic replay by modifying the operating systems, the compilers, the runtime libraries, or the virtual machine managers. Most of them leverage the concurrent read and exclusive write protocol to serialize and log the total order of the memory access interleaving. However, each memory access operation must be checked for logging before execution, which results in serious performance degradation and huge log sizes. To summarize, it's inherently difficult to record memory access interleaving efficiently by software alone without proper hardware supports. So therefore, the main goal of our work is to implement a software approach that can take full advantages of the latest hardware features in commodity processors to record and replay memory access interleaving efficiently without introducing any hardware modifications. The emergence of hardware-assisted virtualization provides the possibility to meet our requirements. Next, I will discuss how we record and replay memory interleaving with HAV extensions. Most previous software-only approach leverage CRU protocol, which is inherently a point-to-point logging approach. Every single memory access needs to be checked for logging before execution. To avoid these memory access detections, we use the chunk-based strategy that record processor's execution as a series of chunks. As shown in this figure, the determinism is ensured by recording the chunk size and the chunk commit order. Similarly to the database transactions, chunk execution must satisfy the atomicity and serializability requirements. Next, I will use a brief example to illustrate the execution flow of our chunk-based strategy. As shown in this figure, during chunk execution, the first write to each page will trigger a copy-on-write operation that creates a local copy. Then all the following modifications to this page will be performed on this copy. When chunk completion, we obtain the read and write side of this chunk to perform the conflict detection. if there is no conflict, like C1 and C2 in this figure, this chunk can be committed, and we record the chunk size and the commit order. Otherwise, like C3 in this figure, we can see that there is a conflict between C1 and C3. The processor will roll back the state and re-execute this chunk. Like this. Yeah. The biggest challenge is how to obtain the read and write size of the chunk efficiently. Virtualization-based approaches can achieve this by tracing each memory access through a page fault VM exit, but these numerous VM exits are the key source of performance degradation. Fortunately, the emergence of HAV provides the possibility to reduce this overhead. HAV enables efficient full system virtualization utilizing the help from hardware capabilities. The extend page table provided in HAV is a hardware-assisted address translation technology. Intel also introduced the excised and the dirty flags for EPT, which enables the hardware to detect which page has been excised or updated during execution. Therefore, by utilizing these features, we can avoid this VM exit and obtain the read and write size by gathering all the EPT entries where the excised or dirty flag is set, which can be performed by an EPT traversal. Moreover, the tree-based design of EPT makes it possible to further improve the performance. If the excised flag of one internal entry is zero, the excised flag of all entries in its subtrees are guaranteed to be zero. Therefore, it is not necessary to traverse these subtrees. In practice, due to locality of reference, we usually just need to traverse a tiny part of APT, which incurs negligible overhead. Apart from obtaining read and write size, chunk commit is another time-consuming process. In our naive design, as this figure shows, we use a system-wide log to enforce serializability. Our analysis shows that the time consumed on waiting for this log is excessive, and we also observe that the write-back operation involves serious performance degradation due to loss of page copies. Based on these observations, we move the write-back operation out of the synchronized block to reduce the log size. Therefore, we propose a decentralized three-phase commit protocol to support parallel commit while ensuring serializability. In brief, it guarantees that all chunk will be persist in FIFO order. I will not go into any detail on it. I would encourage you to read the paper if you want, if you're interested. Well, the last part is how to replay memory interleaving. Actually, this is quite simple under our chunk-based strategy. We merely need to guarantee that all chunk will be properly rebuilt and executed in the original order. What we need to do is truncate a chunk at the recorded timestamp and ensure that all preceding chunks has been committed successfully before the current chunk starts. Yep, we implement and evaluate our prototype, Samsara. As shown in this figure, Samsara achieves deterministic replay as an extension to the KVM. This makes it possible to access the entire virtual machine and take full advantages of the HAV extensions. We evaluate our system on a wide range of applications. We choose both computation intensive and IO intensive applications as a workloads. Log size is an important consideration of the replay systems. Usually, recording non-deterministic events will generate huge log size, a huge space overhead, and that limits the duration of the recording. Evaluation shows that our system, Samsara, produces a much smaller log size than previous approaches. It reduces 98% space overhead compared to the previous software-only approaches. to explain why Samsara can reduce space overhead dramatically. This figure illustrates the relative fractions of each type of non-deterministic events in the log file. We can see from this figure that the size of the chunk commit order log is negligible compared with other events. And we also evaluate the performance overhead to reflect the actual execution time of the system in real life. We compare the performance to the native execution as shown in this figure. We can see that the average performance overhead introduced by Samsara is 2.3 times on two cores and 4.1 times on four cores. This overhead is much smaller than previously software-only approaches. Samsara improves the recording performance dramatically because we avoid all memory access detections, which are a major source of the overhead. So in conclusion, we made the first attempt to leverage HAV to achieve an efficient software-only approach to uncommunity preciser. We record preciser's execution as series of chunks and avoid a large number of memory access detections by performing an EPT traversal at the end of each chunk. Moreover, we propose a decentralized three-phase commit protocol to further reduce the performance overhead by allowing the chunk commit in parallel while still ensuring serializability. That's all. Thank you for listening. I will be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions? Mm-hmm. So I'll start with one. So these chunks, you know, it seems that a lot of you got was to be able to, that instead of recording all the memory interleaving, you're chunking things.
Yeah.
So what is the average chunk size that makes sense, and do our chunk sizes in any way workload specific? Or how you determine? I know that they have to guarantee you the atomicity, serializability, but how the mm-hmm. chunks, you know, how many of those are usually you are putting together and avoiding recording everything?
Yeah. So the question is how can we ensure that this is right by just log the chunk size and the chunk commit order?
Yes, and I from your presentation, I didn't read the paper, so I don't understand, you know, how you determine the chunk itself, the size.
The chunk what?
The chunk size.
The chunk size. How do we decide the chunk size? Yeah, there is more detail in the paper. Let me see this page. We truncate a chunk if the chunk size is too large or if there is an I/O instruction of this chunk, then we truncate this chunk. Why do we do this if an I/O instruction occurs? Because that we cannot roll back the I/O instructions.
Right.
Yeah. If there is a conflict like C3 in this figure, then we will roll back the state. But if we execute an I/O instruction, we cannot roll back this state.
Okay.
So we truncate a chunk if the I/O states have.
And did any of the workloads in the evaluation were network intensive or anything that you would have a lot of that would make your chunks smaller in the experiments?
For now, we don't have the network intensive workloads, but. But for some workloads, the chunk size is smaller. For example, like the some I/O intensive applications, that there are so many I/O instructions, so the chunk size is much smaller than the computation intensive workloads. Yeah.
And then you said that you know, if there is I/O boom, you stop the chunk, or if it's too big, could you give me an idea of too big? What is that? When you explained to me the size, mm-hmm. you said if I/O happens, we truncate, we stop the chunk.
Yep.
And you also said if it gets too big,
what is too big? It can be signed by the programmer or
I'm the programmer.
How much
intuition I should use?
Maybe millions of instructions. or something smaller.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Hi, Stefan Vermont, Google. Thank you for having a workload that, you know, that is pretty real, like kernel build, etc. That's really refreshing.
Thank you.
Now, turning it around, if I were to write some horrible code, like two threads, and they are banging on each other's memory, exactly the same cells, and they are, you know, almost like to generate non-determinism. I want to have, I build these two threads to make non-determinism. I use the property. I guess what I'm saying is, there must be some corner cases where the scheme kind of falls apart, right? If you have some patterns of accesses that are really, really tough, you end up having to effectively do the same work as recording the interleaving of every access, right? I mean, does that make sense? I mean, do you see what I'm trying to say? Or is that something I missed? Because I apologize for not reading the paper either.
I don't quite understand. What do you say?
So imagine you have two threads, right? One is reading and writing one cell. The other one is reading and writing the same cell. And that's all they do. They just all day long, they trample each other and they generate non-determinism like this.
Then it's execute in serial, like this one execute first, and this one execute like this, and this, and this one. Like this.
Right, but on multiple CPUs, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
How bad is the overhead in that small case?
Yes, effectively, yes. How bad is it in that case?
How bad? Yeah. How bad? It's like the execute just on a single core. Yeah. The worst case is like that. You mean if you had a double cores, then the conflict is so much in every commit, every chunk commit, so the chunk, this chunk, in this time, this chunk can be committed, and this chunk abroad, and then re-execute this chunk, and this chunk can be committed in the next time. So it's like in zero execution.
Okay, right. So, so if I had,
but
here
but,
you have
but
a 2X.
In practice, this
right, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's not the, it's I mean, okay, that could be very strange code. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You want to walk here? If you want to walk to the microphone, it would be better if you could. Thank you.
Hello. So I saw you cited a couple of papers from researchers in University of Michigan. Dr. Peter Chen's group.
Peter Chen,
So
the SMB revert.
They have done a lot of research in terms of the record and replay.
Mm-hmm.
So you, are you the first one to use InterVT to do record and replay?
The first one to use what? To use
InterVT.
InterVT. Yeah, I think we are the first one to use the InterVT technology to accelerate the record and replay, precise to accelerate the deterministic replay. Yeah, I think we are the first.
But InterVT is not a new technology. It's
It has been
proposed for like 10 years already.
But the new features, this feature, the excised and the dirty bit flags for EPT is a new feature in the Intel Haswell macro architecture like 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago. Yeah, this is a new feature in the Intel processors.
Okay,
yeah.
So compared to like Dr. Peter Chen's work, what's your advantages?
We improve the performance dramatically, and we reduce the log size 98% compared to their work, their previous work. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess I'll have another question.
Uh-huh.
What is the performance of the replay? Could you tell us what happens on replay? Is things go slow or?
Is this a good question? The replay is not the important consideration of a record and replay system, because the recording phase we need to run the recording phase a long time. Yeah, so the overhead introduced by the recording phase is actually the most important consideration of our system. But the record overhead is not a consideration, so we don't evaluate that one. Okay, thank you.